Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who has called us to go fishing with him, dear fellow redeemed, Ruth and I were walking in Lake Mendota a while back, and we were amazed, it was a Sunday afternoon, how many fishermen we saw on the lake. It's like little villages all over the ice. There's those shanties, they're four-wheelers, some had grills with fire going, and they had their tip-ups. So we walked down the lake and back, and we waved to some, said hi to others. But I mentioned to Ruth that I didn't see any of them catching any fish. Now, I've never gone ice fishing before. I love walking the lake, but to stand or sit and shiver in the dead of winter on a frozen lake and catch no fish, it's not my cup of tea. In fact, to go fishing even when it's nice outside and not catch anything seems like a waste of effort too. And that's what Peter thought in our sermon text this morning. Our text is found also in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Mark just gives us a brief summary of it. In Luke, we're told more details. Jesus had a crowd around him on the shore, so he got into Peter's boat and pushed out a little bit and used it like a pulpit and preached to the people on the shore. When he was done preaching, he turned to Peter and said, "Let's go out fishing." Well, Peter and Andrew had been fishing all night long, throwing their net out, pulling it in, throwing their net out, pulling it in, throwing their net out, pulling it in, and they caught exactly zero, nothing, all night long. So Peter thought, "Well, this is a waste." But he listened to Jesus' words. In obedience to the Lord, they went out one more time, and they threw their net in, and it was filled with fish. Peter realized this miracle. He fell down at Jesus' feet, and he cried out, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." To which Jesus replied, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Jesus had already revealed to these men that he was the Christ, the Messiah. And now, by the power of his word, he moved them to forsake everything and follow him. Every time a sinner is moved by the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the power of Christ in his word is seen. It's evidenced. It's manifested in their life. And that's an epiphany. Being a follower of Jesus means that he has called all of us to be his fishermen, to go fishing for Jesus, not on a frozen lake with fish, but in our daily life for people. They don't use bobbers and lures and nets or tip-ups, but we use the gospel. And the best place to get a full abundance of the gospel is by regular Sunday morning attendance in God's house. Let's read again the first few verses of our sermon text, 16 to 18. "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him." There's no need for explanations, no small talk. They already believe in Jesus as the Messiah. We see that from John chapter 1. Now they are being confronted with an invitation to leave everything they knew, their livelihood, their occupation, and begin a whole new occupation. Not fishing for fish, but fishing for people. And we're told immediately they left their nets behind and they followed Jesus. That immediate response gives testimony to the amazing power of Jesus' words, the words of the Epiphany Lord and Savior. We shouldn't marvel at Peter and Simon's obedience and following the call as if it was by their own righteousness that they did this. No, this is by God's grace and God's mercy. Jesus reached out to them and through the power of his word, not only gave the invitation, but gave them the ability to accept that invitation and say, yes, I'm leaving everything to follow you, Lord. Discipleship is a gift of God's grace. We should marvel, rather, at Jesus' mercy toward these men, at the power of his word. But little did Peter and Andrew and James and John really understand what it meant to forsake all and follow Jesus. Little could they imagine what it would mean to cast out a net for Jesus. It meant a whole lot more than just following behind Jesus, their master, listening to him preach and teach as he walked through Galilee and Jerusalem and Samaria. It meant more than just sitting next to Jesus with his loving protection next to him, listening to his words of love. It meant action. It meant commitment. It meant sacrifice on their part. And that leads us to our theme this morning. This calling was not just given to Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, but it's given to every one of us too. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has been called to be fishermen for God, to go fishing for Jesus, because faith in Christ is the only prerequisite you need to go fishing for Christ. You don't have to have a college degree or no theology. You don't have to go to 4 years of a Bible college or 3 years of seminary. If you have faith in Jesus, you've already got what it takes to fish for Christ. Our theme this morning is the Epiphany Lord calls you. And be aware that he calls you, first of all, to a life of total commitment. Often I've heard people say to me, is that all there is to being saved? Simply believing or saying, I believe in Jesus? Well, the answer is yes and no. Yes, we're saved simply through faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Cling with repentant faith to Jesus' perfect life, his sacrificial death, atoning for our sins, and his resurrection, and we have the gift of everlasting life. But no, there's a lot more to faith than just saying, I believe. The Apostle James wrote in his epistle, faith without works is dead. To follow the Lord and be a fisherman for Jesus means, first of all, to subordinate everything in your life to Jesus. Give yourself, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul to Jesus. Subject yourself. Hand over all your boats, all your nets, all your business, all your wealth, your will, your desires to the Lord. Those who follow Jesus have riches far greater than the riches that we have in life that can be lost or stolen or rust or decay. Following the Lord requires placing everything into God's hands. Our life, our jobs, our callings, our marriages, our families, our wealth, our health, all are subordinated to the Lord. James and John showed that by leaving their father, leaving the family business of fishing, and forsaking all and following Jesus. Make no mistake about it. This calling is very demanding. As our first point says, it demands total commitment. This fishing for Jesus Christ is not something that we can take or leave, do in our spare time, or slough off. This is the hardest work you can ever do. Living for Christ. Being a believer in Jesus Christ. It means that we'll strive to live like Jesus in all of our ways. And what does that mean? Here's a few examples. It means being humble. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. He made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. It means being loving and forgiving unconditionally, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. It means being obedient. No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. It means to share the cross of Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 10, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Peter tells us in his first epistle, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." It was on the cross that Jesus died and paid for the guilt and punishment of all of our sins, reconciling us to God the Father. Our cross, then, is a sign of our discipleship. Will we carry it with us, or let it lie there? This calling also means to share the work of Christ. Jesus says, "I will make you become fishers of men." This preaching of the gospel is one of Christ's highest priorities. His gospel is more important than eating or drinking, more important than healing people, more important than anything in his life, more important than his personal comfort. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And so Christ is still today calling people to become fishermen for Jesus, to cast out the gospel, because without that gospel message touching the heart of people, the Holy Spirit cannot lead you to believe it. If it's up to us, and it is, will the people you know, you meet, ever hear that gospel message? Our text this morning has some very serious questions to be laid upon our hearts. Whatever it is we do, whatever job we have, ask yourself, will I take up my cross daily for Jesus? Will I follow Jesus no matter what the cost of my money, my free time, my effort? Will I carry that net of the gospel and throw that net out of the gospel and go fishing for Jesus? That leads us to our second point. The Epiphany Lord also calls you and me to a life of glorious service. If you're anything like me, and I'm sure you are, you'll have that feeling of shame over what a poor fisherman we really are. Not speaking when you should have spoken up. Missing opportunities to cast the net of the gospel to someone that you know doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, and you pass it by. Also, spending more time talking to people about trivia things, mundane, whether sports, politics, rather than eternal things about Jesus, eternal life, heaven, and hell. But we need not despair, because Jesus calls us to glorious service, and he says, "I will give you the power to do that." Even as Jesus said to Peter, Do not be afraid, for from now on you will catch men. He says to me, and you, don't be afraid of your sins. Your sins don't disqualify you from being fishermen for me. I've taken your sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. They're gone. They're forgiven. Don't be afraid of your doubt or your worry or your fear of not knowing enough. Don't be afraid of your inabilities, because I'll give you the strength, the courage, the confidence, and the ability to speak for me. In his love for us, Jesus took our place, and he gave his life as a spotless Lamb of God to pay for all of our sins. If we've been guilty of not going out fishing for Jesus, if we've been reluctant to go fish for Jesus, if we are too afraid to go fish for Jesus, just come to him, confess your sin, and Jesus says to you and me, son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. You can do all things through me who strengthens you. Now, together, let's go fishing. Jesus gave his life for us. Why? So that we could be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him, not only here in this earth, but eventually forever in heaven. He was our atoning sacrifice. He gave his life, and he rose from the dead, and through that power of the resurrection, he gives us the power to not only want to go fishing for Jesus, but to be able to go fishing for Jesus. When he called the disciples, he warned them this would be something to surrender everything to him. But he didn't call them to a life of misery or to a life of poverty, isolation, defeat. He called them to a service of glory, of joy, of victory, of fullness. By the grace of the Holy Spirit, these four fishermen never forgot the one who called them. The Lord of heaven and earth had invited them to be his closest, his most intimate friends and companions for an exciting and unforgettable 3 years and for a lifetime of wonderful service. Above all, they never forgot in whom they put all of their trust, all of their confidence for forgiveness, for everlasting life, for heaven, in Jesus, their Lord and their Savior. And Jesus wants to share his death, his resurrection, and the everlasting glory of heaven with all of us too, with you and with me, and all of lost mankind. Therefore, he calls his disciples, his followers, to carry this message out into the world, regardless of the cost. What an unmerited privilege the Lord gives to us to be involved in the conversion of lost souls. Not doing the conversion, but bringing them the message, telling them about Jesus, bringing the gospel. There's no denying that the cost of discipleship is steep. And Jesus never hesitated to let his people know that. Surrender all to me. It cost that great cost. But Jesus also was quick to assure his followers, even as he assures us through his word, that he'd be with us every step of the way. He'll give us the strength. He'll give us the ability. He'll give us the desire. He'll give us the opportunity. He'll give us the words to be able to say. And in the end, we receive a crown of everlasting life. So, let's get going. Let's not just talk about it. Let's go do it. Let's go fishing for Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.